The Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com presents...
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Everywhere you go.
With Margaret Gray.
Take a look at 5 and 10.
Bud Dickman.
Listening once again.
Robert Leonard.
Candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
And General Galen Shaw.
It's beginning to
Thank you very much.
Like Christmas.
I wanted to make a...
Toys
hold on. Well, I want to make a statement of... That I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe in God.
Hold on, General.
But I believe in God.
Would you hold on, General?
Barney and Ben.
Barney? I just heard the man singing about Barney.
The man, that's Johnny Mathis.
I don't give a sweet G. I don't care who it is. I heard him singing a bunch of non sequiturs.
The reason why Phil is playing this is because of what I was saying.
There's a tree in the Grand Hotel. One in
the... Give me the thing. Turn that off for a minute. I mean, don't turn. It's very lovely, bud. What are you talking about?
This song is an example of the improvisational lyric. Johnny Mathis isn't making any sense in this song. This song is disturbing. He's talking about Barney. He's talking about a tree in a basement. No one knows what he's singing about.
May I say that I believe in God?
Yes, General. We'll get to you in a second.
Why are you saying that?
Because of your stated atheism, I wanted to say that. Now you're telling me that Johnny Mathis is singing nothing but gobbledygook. Now that throws my world into a tither. I don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah, well...
Oh, I see, because it's important to know whether Johnny Mathis is singing a song or not. That means...
The General's entitled to his opinion...
Why don't we just not get confused about the General and you? What are you saying?
I'm saying it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, there's a tree in a basement there. There's a man wearing a spacesuit. Let's go to the moon and let's buy shoes. It doesn't make any sense, I'm trying to tell you. I've been trying to tell people this for years. It makes no sense.
If I go back and listen to that song, and I listen to the lyrics of that song, it'll make perfect sense.
Now it does, yes, because that's the insidiousness of it. But when you just hear it for the first time and you're not paying attention and you're, oh, hi, how are you, and you're wrapping presents and you're doing whatever you do, Phil, which whatever you do, is that's your business, and I don't tell me what it is. Because...
What are you looking me up and down for like I'm some kind of an animal out of a boxcar?
I don't know what you do, but whatever you do, you just do it and don't tell me about it, all right? But the point is, that's what you do. And you can do it. And do it till you're blue in the face. But when you're listening to It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas, you're hearing the ravings of a lunatic. That's what you're hearing, Phil. The ravings of a lunatic. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, there's a shoe on my foot and the places...
Yeah, I kind of know what you mean, Margaret.
Do you understand, don't you, bud?
Yeah.
Well, I don't.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
The ravings of a lunatic.
Well, I sort of understand what she's saying. When I listen to some Christmas music, the one that bothers me more than anything is The White Christmas. Now, I love the song by Bing Crosby. I'm looking at your white Christmas... And, you know, if you guys know the song?
I'm looking at your white Christmas.
Is that...
I'm dreaming of a white... That song.
Yes, there you go. But the more you hear it, the more unhinged it sounds. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas bell I ring. Or what is it?
With every Christmas card I write. It makes perfect sense to me.
No, you don't understand, Phil. There are some of us that are hearing beyond the music... We're hearing a disturbing landscape beyond the music. There used to be an MTV show called Beyond the Music, and it was about the disturbing landscape that inhabited the scenery behind the song. I remember seeing the Hansons on there and the mad look in their eyes as they attempted to do their little songs, whatever they were, and you knew that the landscape behind the Hansons was a mad, unreal, off-kilter mad German impressionistic landscape, like Murders in the Rue Morgue, you know, or the Cabinets of Dr. Caligari.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? I'm talking about reality here, Phil. I'm talking about madness and reality.
Yes.
I think both of you guys are unhinged. You want to know who's unhinged?
Oh, here we go. Here's where it begins.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you need to have an open mind.
An open mind about what? The madness behind the Hansons. You know, some people may not like their music, but it doesn't mean they're nuts. Now, as far as Christmas music goes, I don't find anything disturbing about any of it. I may have heard the songs about 9 million times. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, I think it's crazy stuff. Okay, enough about that, if you don't mind. This is the Phil Henry Show, and as I mentioned, we had a number of people pass on this past weekend, and they were prominent in the entertainment business. This seems to be the situation when prominent people die. We pay most attention to the entertainers, the actors, the singers. We then pay attention to, I would suppose, the next layer would be the politicians, the authors, people that are well-known, celebrities. Well-known people such as scientists are well-known to their peers, and they're well-known perhaps to a few of us who may stay up on those topics, but not necessarily the masses of people. Now, what happened yesterday, Peter O'Toole passed on. Now, here's a guy that was known very, very, he was a very prominent and big movie star in the 60s when he first was in Lawrence of Arabia and Goodbye, Mr. Chips. And later on, another generation knew him in My Favorite Year. You know, but he died yesterday, and it got a lot of response, got a lot of reaction, but it was mostly kind of a nostalgic thing. People of my generation, you know, the boomers, we knew Peter O'Toole pretty well.
Now, what was this Murphy's War?
Murphy's War, man. I don't know why, but I love that movie.
I never heard of it. I've never seen it. I wouldn't know it if I tripped over it in the dark.
Yeah. What's that about, Mr. Henry?
Well, you really know how to... But Margaret, I tell you, if Margaret Gray hasn't heard about it...
I wouldn't know Murphy's War, Phil, if you took it, rolled it up, and gave it to me to smoke. I know the great Peter O'Toole film. Lion in Winter, hello. Dr. Zhivago, hello.
He wasn't in Dr. Zhivago.
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was in Dr. Zhivago, Phil.
No, he was not in Dr. Zhivago. No, he was not. He was never in Dr. Zhivago.
And you're certain of that?
I own Dr. Zhivago. He ain't in that movie.
He ain't in that movie. Well, what movie was he in then?
Lawrence of Arabia.
That the one about the gay motorcycle driver?
The gay motorcycle driver. Yeah, that's the movie, bud.
What's wrong?
It was much more than that, bud.
Lawrence of Arabia, T.E. Lawrence was the guy's name, okay? T.E. Lawrence was a famous guy. He was a member of the British Army, and he went down to the sands of Saudi Arabia, of Arabia. He went down to the nomadic sands of the Ottoman Empire, okay? This is what we're talking about, the Ottoman Empire.
Now, are you going to give a lecture? Because I've got to go to the toilet.
Yeah, you go right ahead and go to the toilet, Margaret.
No, I don't think I will now, because you're going to mock me behind my back.
Most likely.
Yeah, most likely is right.
All right, but then I'm going to stay here.
Okay.
But I do have to go.
Well, then go, for God's sake. Don't sit here and...
I don't have to go that bad.
All right, are you going or not?
I don't think so, no.
I'm just ready. Then Miss Sherman's going to talk.
Well, now I do want to go, if you're going to talk. I'm sorry, I'll stay.
Anyway, T.E. Lawrence was a British guy, and he went down there, and he united the Arab tribes, these nomadic tribes. They were fighting the Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire was the Turkish Empire. That's what, folks, was down there in World War I. In World War I, it wasn't Iraq, and it wasn't Syria, and it wasn't Lebanon, and it wasn't Palestine, and it wasn't any of that. I mean, these were, you know, areas of the Ottoman Empire, but it was run by the Turks and had been for many, many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. The 20th century and the 19th century saw the end to a couple of empires that were almost 1,000-plus years old. One of them was the Holy Roman Empire of Europe, and the other was the Ottoman Empire. And another that was several hundred years old, the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. All of these went to hell in a handcart after World War I. And one of the reasons why is because of this man, Lawrence, T.E. Lawrence, who was a British soldier who went, united these Arabs, and they fought the Turks and defeated the Turks in a couple of major battles that helped the British Empire, the British army, defeat the Turks in the Middle East. So that was who he was.
Well, what's this stuff about his... I know he was gay.
You know, I don't know whether he was gay or not, to be honest with you. I don't know.
Well, they said he was.
Well, they might have said he was. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. He probably was. I have no idea. There's no question that there have been a great many very prominent and famous people that were gay, and no one wanted us to know that they were, because that would probably compromise our view of what manhood is. It's very likely that T.E. Lawrence was gay. I've heard that for many years. He did enjoy riding motorcycles. He died in a motorcycle accident shortly, I think, after the end of the war. And the film is a highly dramatic rendering of his activities there in the Middle East, primarily in Saudi Arabia, in the battle for Aqaba, and subsequent battles. And the battle for Aqaba was a big one because it and the film deals with it in pretty factually. They had to go across a searing desert to get to the Turkish garrison at Aqaba. And the reason why they decided to go across the desert is because it would be coming at the Turks from behind their position. All of their guns were pointed out into open water, not behind them, because they never in their wildest dreams thought anybody could survive, no army of any size could survive going across that desert and then going into a full attack. That's exactly what T.E. Lawrence did with this federated band of Arab warriors and defeated the Turks in that fight. And of course, that was it was a big turning point because it opened up an avenue for the British Empire.
Why don't you... Someone said, Phil, that you should do a history podcast.
No, I don't want to do that.
Well, why don't you?
Because that means I got to... Everything's got to be accurate. I don't know. You know, I don't know if half the crap... I know that what I'm saying is true in general, in a general sense, but the specifics... You know, I don't read up the day when before I go on the air on this stuff. There may be a couple of things I'm getting wrong here, you know.
Why don't you study up on everything?
You can study up and get it right.
Nah, I don't want to do that.
No, you wouldn't want to do that, would you, Phil? Study up and get it right.
I could do it, but I'm very insecure about that, you know, because history's really important, and I'd rather people...
Well, just do it the way... Look, you've got a guy doing a drunk show. Did you see this thing, General? Do you know what he's doing?
What's that?
He's doing a show where he gets drunk and then goes on TV and talks about history and everyone thinks it's a big laugh riot.
You're doing what? What is that again?
Thank you for getting it right, Margaret.
No, I got it exactly. He's going on TV. You didn't hear about this.
No, I knew that Phil was going on TV. What are you doing, Henry?
Well,
I'll do it. He's going on television, General.
I'll do it. I'm the guy that's going on TV.
I'll do it because you'll gussy it up and make it sound better than it really is. He's going on TV.
Yeah.
What do you mean I'll gussy it up?
Didn't you vomit?
I told the audience that. Yes, I did.
Get a load of this, General. He drank a whole bunch of tequila, talked about Daniel Inouye, and then just went, bleh, just threw up on camera.
No, I did not. No, I did not. No, I did not.
You did. That's exactly what you said.
Oh, Phil, tell me it isn't so.
It didn't happen that way. Drunk History is a show where they have narrators. That would be me. Telling what we know about a certain historical event or person, and we're doing it while we're drinking. And we're drinking so that we are, in many ways, like the barroom storyteller, drinking, telling stories, and slowly but surely, the booze loosens your tongue to the point where you start creating dialogue, and it becomes a much more colorful telling. Now, where the humor of the show really comes in is this narration that I'm giving it, or any of the narrators give it, is taken word for word as a script and put into the mouths of actors. The voiceover is mine, so you hear my voice talking, but you see the actors mouthing the words. And in my case, the story that I told was the story of Daniel Inouye. Or, excuse me, I've got people getting pissed at me. Inouye, that's it. Daniel Inouye.
Well, now, why do you say that?
Because... Oh, I got to take a break. That's why I say that, because I just heard Nikki say take a break.
Say that again?
I got to take a break. I'll be right back after we take the break.
Are you talking about...
The radio show. I have to break.
All
right. We'll be right back here. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and I'll finish whatever it was I was talking about. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. You like this, Margaret?
Oh, I love this. After all the jacks are in the boxes. Listen. See, this is poetry. This is...
I like this song, too, Phil. Right here. The clown has gone away.
You do it, General.
You can hear happiness standing on down street, footprints dressed in red. And the wind, And the wind says, Mary.
The wind cries, Mary.
And the wind, yes, that's it. The wind cried, Mary.
Cries, Mary.
You're starting to... You're bothering me. A broom is drearily sweeping. See, I don't understand any of this now. Do you suppose this is music that...
Well, this is like Christmas music, because it makes no sense. It's disturbing. So it reminds me of Christmas music.
You know, Margaret, because you're an atheist, all you're doing is ripping into Christmas music. I don't like that. I don't like it at all.
You want to do something about it?
Now, wait a minute.
Hold on for a minute.
Well?
Don't start talking like that.
Well, you're giving me this read like it's the Rifleman. I don't like that at all. Down the middle of the city came Phil and Margaret as they stood 100 paces away from each other, the dirt and the dust swirling in the desert sun. Down for her hand, she reached for...
Here's thing.
Ow!
All right. Thank you.
So that's it, huh?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you very much, General. That was a very good recitation there of that, but I'll have no more of it. Thank you.
Well, I was only trying to add some color and some telemetry to an otherwise very confused show.
It has been a very confused show. I will give you that. It's been bizarre and confused.
And you're looking at me like that's my fault?
Why do you always think everything's your fault, Miss Ray? Nobody said anything about you.
Are you yelling at me?
Yeah, I'm yelling at you. Why do you think everything's your fault? All you do is threaten people.
Robert.
No, I'm sick of it, man. I'm sick of it. All you do is push people around, push Bud around, push Phil around, push the General, telling people you're going to hit them, telling people you're going to assault them. I'd have called the cops on you.
I have never...
Why don't you just be quiet and sit there and just take it for a couple of seconds. I'm talking about you yelling at people. You should not be yelling at people.
And what are you doing?
I'm telling you the truth is what I'm doing. Telling you the truth. Always threaten everybody. And everything doesn't go your way. It's everybody else's fault, not your fault.
Are you going to let him tell me?
You got to look at Phil, trying to get some help from Phil. Phil knows what I'm saying is true.
I've never been spoken to like...
Margaret, come on.
No.
Well.
Yeah, you. I agree with what Robert said.
Well, I can't say that I don't agree with him either. You know, it's, you know.
All right, somebody had to say something. You guys weren't going to say nothing.
What am I supposed to say about it?
Well, you're only the guy. It's your show.
She's been, you know, kind of out of sorts lately, you know.
What's wrong with her?
I don't know. But, I mean, Margaret's generally, you know, you're right. I mean, I don't like the people being threatened.
Yeah, it's always telling somebody she's going to kick somebody's ass. She's going to stick a man, I heard her say to Bud here, she's going to kick his ass and everything.
Well, I mean, where'd she go?
She's outside smoking a white owl. She said she needed to be alone.
All right. What is with the white owls? I don't,
Well, she happens to like those cigars, you know. Margaret was very close to her father, from what I understand. That's where she learned to box.
Margaret was a boxer.
Oh, yeah. Yes, she was. She was not allowed to box as when she got older because she was a girl and they didn't let girls box, but she learned, her father had a speed bag and a sandbag in the garage, and she worked out on that.
Her father had a... Margaret used a speed bag.
That's my understanding. And so she, you know, has always been ready to go with the fists, unlike, you know, some other women.
Well, all we're saying is, you know, she's been lately threatening to kick everybody's ass around here.
Well, you know, I'll tell you this much. If the shoe fits...
What, are you saying some people deserve it?
I think in your case, Bud, with your big fat mouth, yes. You deserve to get your ass kicked. Now, you, Robert, I don't think, and Phil, but she's got to think, she's got to kick his ass, regardless of what you say.
Well, I don't think it's right.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Find out if she comes back in here and, look, I don't want Margaret to feel like she's... Robert, what you said was good, you know?
Yeah, I thought it was.
But I don't want her feeling like she's not welcome. We'll be back, Phil Henry Show.
Close down their shop.
Well, let me go outside and see if she's...
What's that?
There are more white owls, she was.
Selling 8 own...
It's the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
Robert, it's going to take more than you to scare me.
Since we've no place to go.
Oh, no, I'm trying to scare you. Just trying to get the truth.
You gave me your truth, but I'm not going to let this song go by without... This is another example of a Christmas song that doesn't make any sense. Now, it's... Do-do-do-do, and the weather out... I love Christmas, don't get me wrong, but this is absolute... just babbling, that's all. This is a lunatic's raving.
I'm not hearing that at all. Listen to that.
And who is this?
Michael, who is this, Bud?
Michael Blah.
What's his name, Bud? Quit screwing around.
I swear to God, it's Michael Bubbleman.
Michael Bubbleman?
Let me see this. He's got a good voice, though, doesn't he?
Well, he's got that. Let us know.
You know, he reminds me a little bit of the Jack Sinatra, doesn't he?
Yeah, it does.
Jack Sinatra, huh?
Yeah. The weather outside. I love to listen to that.
Frank Sinatra, you mean?
What did he say?
Jack Sinatra.
No, not Jack Sinatra. The
Frank Sinatra.
No, not Frank Sinatra. Who's Jack Spratt. What is it?
Jack Jones.
What's his name?
Jack Jones.
That's it. Jack Jones, what he did to Hey, Wives and Lovers.
Yeah, Wives and Lovers. Jack Jones. Okay, well, whatever, man. So, turn it down, Bud, will you?
Mike Bubbleman.
This is Mike Bubbleman.
That's great. Turn it the hell down, will you? God.
At least it isn't the jungle music that you keep turning up loud.
You know, this whole thing with jungle, man, you talk about a rock and roll, man, this is like general...
Oh, what, I'm not with it? Is that it? I'm not with it, man. That guy, I'm telling you right now, I can tell by the way that guy looks through his face, he's crazier than a crap house rat, and that was Jack Sinatra, all right?
Not Jack Sinatra, Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra, General.
All right, Frank Sinatra. You guys are making a big issue... And Margaret making an issue about the ravings of a lunatic. I don't get that at all. The man's singing about snow, and that's what happens in the wintertime.
I know, but he's singing, oh, the weather outside is frightful, and the do-do-do-do-do. I don't know.
All right, Margaret. Speaking of you being an atheist, this is the time of year when atheists often make their feelings known concerning, what is it? They make their feelings known concerning the manger and all that stuff?
Yes. You mean the public display of religious symbol?
Yeah.
I don't care. I could care less. Doesn't matter to me at all.
All right. But you know the people I'm talking about?
There are a variety of atheist groups, yes. That's not my thing. That's not my thing. My thing is I celebrate the season. I am more pagan than I am atheist. I am more Wiccan.
Well, that's not atheist. You believe in the Wiccan demons and those things.
Well, there's not Wiccan demons. There's no such thing as that.
Is Wiccan Yule? Is that what that is?
Who?
Yule.
What's that?
The Yule log, Yuletide.
Oh, the Yule. I thought you were talking about Yul Brynner. Honest to God, I did.
Yeah, I did too, Phil, Margaret, so don't feel alone there.
I really did. Yul.
Who's Yul Brynner?
He was a bald... There was another bald man.
Did he wear a ski cap?
Can we not break the train of thought here? I'm trying to find out something here. Yule.
Yes, Yule is the Yule. You'll want to look that up.
That's pretty good, McGray.
Thank you.
The Yule log, I know about that.
I'll bet you do.
Yeah.
What's the Yule log? Is that something that do we need to know about? Is it something we have to be concerned with?
No, the Yule log is the traditional log.
Well, Phil, let's stop while we're ahead, because this one here is going to start going, yee-yee.
The Yule log is the traditional log that is burned
by Yule people.
By the Yule people? Is that what it is?
No, by the pagan people. I think Yule was part of that. Wasn't it, Robert?
What are you asking me for, man? Because your ancestors was from Africa. Yeah, so what, man? They're more about the Yule log than anybody.
Africans don't know about the Yule log.
Why not? They's pagan. No, they don't know about the Yule log.
Do they have the Yule log in Africa?
Man, I don't think they had a Yule log in Africa. They didn't have none of that stuff. And they had a religion, and it wasn't Christian, but it doesn't mean we're running around like a bunch of pagans burning a Yule log.
Well, I don't know anything about it because my people was Christian.
Yeah, isn't that nice of you to know that, bud? Isn't that great? Don't take it as an opportunity to start bagging on people, okay? If you don't mind. Because it's getting a little tiring around here. All right, so fantastic. Thank you very, very much for all of that. We were discussing, and we were going to get Harvey Wireman on the line here. Harvey is, along with Frank Gray, Harvey's been in this town for a long time. Harvey's a defense attorney, but we're going to discuss with him Peter O'Toole. I know Peter O'Toole passed on. We mentioned Tom Laughlin. Joan Fontaine was the other one, Margaret. Did you want to...
Joan Fontaine was the sister of Olivia de Havilland, and between the two of them, the talent they had was beyond compare. I know that I'm being dramatic in the way that I'm reading.
Just that lazy mouth really gets me, man.
What do you mean, lazy mouth?
When you go, compare.
Margaret, it is. It begins to grate on the nerves.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to give the life of Joan Fontaine the needed dramatic narration, shall we call it, that it requires. Joan Fontaine was a beautiful woman. She was the sister of Olivia de Havilland. She was on To Tell the Truth, and she was on What's My Line. Well, what are you looking at?
Is that it?
Is that it? What do you want me to say?
Margaret, there has to be more to the woman's life than that.
Well, I'm sure there is, but Phil's... I'm giving the highlights.
She's the sister of Olivia de Havilland.
No. I didn't say the sister of... I didn't spit it out, and I didn't bite my tongue. And I don't have a swollen purple tongue like those poor children that have to eat separately.
What are you talking?
Never mind. Phil, I know a little bit about it. Do you recall a certain day that I was at Magic Mountain for your rotten show and I was going to ride on Colossus?
Hold on for a minute. There's no sense in calling the show rotten.
Do you remember a certain day?
I remember when you were in line and you had your press pass and you wanted to get to the front of the car for Colossus.
Thank you. And I got in the front of the car, and who was behind me? A bunch of blind kids. I took all kinds of trouble for that, so I know all about that sort of thing. I know all about that kind of grief, if you will. And I'm here to tell you, Phil, that I'm not being disrespectful to anyone. I said, some kid with a big purple tongue... I don't know.
Well, then don't talk about it like that, okay?
In any event, what I had told them that day and what I have said to people... Don't do that, bud.
Roller coaster.
Turn it off.
All right, so okay, great. Thank you very much. I don't know where we're going. I know. Harvey Wireman's going to join us here and talk about Peter O'Toole. And before we go to the break, I'd like to do this, bud, if you don't mind, so that... we can. Harvey, how are you doing? And welcome to the program. Harvey Wireman joining us. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Phil.
So Peter O'Toole passed on. We had, I know, Margaret was talking about Joan Fontaine.
I wasn't even finished with Joan Fontaine.
Well, anyway, I can tell you a little bit about Joan Fontaine if you want.
Go ahead.
Well, she was the sister of Olivia de Havilland, and she was a very beautiful woman. And she was on What's My Line and To Tell the Truth.
That's exactly what I said, and Phil gave me a look like I was something that somebody spilled in a dumpster.
Well, I mean, Phil, those are the high points.
You gotta be kidding. There's gotta be more. You know, that's disrespectful. I know she was an actress. She was in a lot of movies.
Well, can you name a movie she was in?
She was in a lot of movies, man. Wasn't she in Gone with the Wind?
No, that was Olivia de Havilland.
Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte.
Olivia de Havilland.
She was in... Joan Fontaine was in some movies. She was in some damn good movies. But here's the thing about Joan Fontaine. She was in great movies and she did What's My Line? And To Tell the Truth. So that's something to hang on your hat at the end of the day. That's a place to put your head when your hat is on your shoulders. I mean, not when your hat is on, but that's a place... Where do you usually hang your head after you've taken it out from underneath your hat? Well, that's something that Joan Fontaine can say she done did. If you don't mind, Phil, I need to sit down.
Go ahead, sit down. What you just said there is you do need to sit down.
Where she hangs her head or her hat?
What'd you say?
Where does she hang her head or her hat? In other words, Joan Fontaine had a great career.
Yes, she had
a phenomenal career.
A phenomenal career. Now, the other guy, Tom Laughlin, I don't know anything about him, and Peter O'Toole, I don't know anything about him either, other than the fact that I saw that movie he did, Lawrence of Arabia. But you mentioned a movie called Murphy's War. Now, I saw that movie. That's a great movie.
Yeah, Murphy's War was cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was damn good.
What's that about?
Murphy's War is this British... It's the story of a British sea captain who has lost... He's in the Navy. He's a British naval officer who's lost his ship to a German submarine. And he's in this town, in this village, or this garrison or something, inside this little inlet in... Look, I think it's Africa, isn't it? Or something like that. Oh, it's the First World War. And this guy has lost his ship. He is really angry at losing his ship. He is extremely angry at the Germans that, you know, blew his ship out of the water. And now he's discovered a German submarine that's run aground in this inlet. And he has at his disposal this gigantic crane on a barge. And on the end of the crane is a torpedo that he pulled off of the sand. A torpedo that had not exploded, that had run up onto some sand from this German sub. He goes and he gets it. He hooks it on the end of this crane. He hoists it up. And with this big, lumbering, slow, spitting black smoke into the air barge, he begins to putt, putt, putt out into the middle of this inlet, where this German submarine has run aground and proceeds to attempt to drop this torpedo from this crane onto this submarine.
And you call that a good movie?
You agreed with me.
Yeah, but you just reminded me of what it was about. Now I remember it stunk.
That sounds boring.
No, it wasn't. It was fantastic. Are you crazy? It was fantastic.
What was the name of this movie?
Murphy's War. I loved it. Anyway, there was a Greek, I know, it was Greece. It was Greece, I think. And there was a guy, a Greek guy, who's a civilian, and he's helping Murphy. Murphy, played by Peter O'Toole, he's saying, you know, and Murphy wants him to help him. Come on, you gotta help him. He says, we're little men, Murphy, we're little men. No one will ever remember us, Murphy. We're just little men. I mean, and it's that moment where the guy says, no, I'm not. I'm gonna take this torpedo. And I'm telling you, it's a great movie. You gotta see it.
I don't know. Now, I remember enjoying it, but the way you're describing it sounds like it really sucked. So.
Well, I don't think so. All right, let's take a break. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be back and close out this very, very eventful, this very strange, this very marvelous, this wild, wicked, and wonderful Monday night, man. And it's been all of that. Let's get some more of that holiday stuff up, bud, before we all flip, okay? What's this one?
It's called Far Away Christmas Blues or something.
Johnny Otis? Okay, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Christmas time.
Murphy. We're little men, Murphy. Oh, man. I'm just kidding.
Don't want a lot for Christmas.
Why are you playing her? You know that she's had pill problems.
Who cares? I think she's got a great voice. Mariah Carey. All right, so I found this movie. Oh, I love this song. Don't you like this song?
Oh, she's too dramatic for my taste. Her and her big rear end and those tight dresses.
Well, you know, that's what kills me about you women. You like the full figure thing. Oh, but if it's Mariah Carey, she looks like she's in sausage casing. Make up your mind, will you?
I think Mariah Carey is a lovely young woman. And,
wait a minute. Are you there, Frank?
Yeah, I'm right here. And my name isn't Frank. It's Harvey.
Oh, sorry.
Jesus. Yeah, this Mariah Carey, she's a pistol, man. She's a real handful. She was married to that poor slob, Tony Mottola. She took him for everything he had. Dumped him in a sewer. Now she's, I don't know who she's with. Keep an eye on her, man. She gets her mud hooks into you.
All right. I get it. All right, so anyway, welcome back to the program here, world famous Phil Hendry Show. So we're talking to Harvey Weinman here about the tremendous career of Peter O'Toole, an actor I really just thought was great. And we're talking about Murphy's War.
Yeah, okay. Now, Murphy's War, Phil, you know, now that I'm reminded of it, it was a good movie. It could have been better.
Who directed that?
Let me look here. Where is Margaret there?
No, she's not here. What happened to her?
Oh, let's go and get a cigar.
Hey, Margaret, where are you at?
I'm right here.
Well, I got Harvey on the line.
So?
You're not married to Harvey, are you?
No, I'm married to Frank, thank you very much, although I like you, Harvey.
Thank you, Margaret.
I'm not married to him.
It was directed by the movie that we're talking about here was directed by, I don't know, man. Are you looking at this?
Am I looking at what?
Are you looking at IMDb?
No, I'm not looking at IMDb. I don't even know what IMDb is. I'm trying to remember who the director of that piece of crap was. It was, Peter Yates. Peter Yates directed it. Now, Peter Yates was a great action director. He was one of these guys who was a little bit star-crossed. He would do a great film, and then he'd do one that just stunk it out. Did a great film, and then one that stunk it out. But the movie that Peter Yates did that I think everybody will probably remember is Bullet with Steve McQueen.
Oh, that's a movie that broke all kinds of precedents and it's iconic for the things that it created, huh?
Yeah, he had the first big chase movie, car chase, where they had that car chase and they blew that guy up. So that was a hell of a movie. Then he did another one called The Deep, which was this movie that I told you about, the damn, skin diving and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think those movies are boring as hell. I can't sit still for any of that garbage, but some people like them. He did another one that I liked a lot, a movie called The Friends of Eddie Coyle, and this was a gangster movie with Robert Mitchum and Peter Boyle. There's a couple of really good actors there. One of the last movies that Bob Mitchum ever did.
Friends of Eddie Coyle, I saw that. That was like a real street criminal, street crime kind of street thug movie.
Oh, yeah. That movie was about just how, what a bunch of losers these guys, if you live that life, and you live that life old, and you're old enough living that life, it's a bad way to go. Then he did another, I don't know, a bunch of other movies. He did one that, called The Dresser. That I liked, but then he did a piece of a turd. He did a lot of turds,
He did a lot of turds.
Well, he was one of these guys. Peter Yates was a director that did some good ones. He did some bad ones. What do you want from me?
All right. He passed on in 2011, but this is one that I think he did that was fantastic. He did one called Mother Jugs and Speed.
Mother Jugs and Speed was from 1976. It was a... I think it had the guy, the Bill Cosby, and Harvey Keitel. And Juggs was played by Raquel Welch. And I'm trying to think, it was these ambulance companies or something.
And this is a comedy?
Yeah, it was a comedy. Harvey Keitel and Bill Cosby, if you can imagine that. So here's the thing about that movie. And also Larry Hagman and LQ Joyn, some pretty good actors in it. But here's the thing about that movie. That's proof positive that Harvey Keitel could do comedy, and I think it was a pretty good movie. Now, some people thought the thing, it smelled bad and it stunk it out, but I thought it was pretty good.
I'd have to rent that one, man, and get that on Netflix, Mother, Jugs, and Speed.
Yeah, with, what's-his-name, Bill Cosby and Harvey Keitel. But the movie you're talking about, the Murphy's War, that was a good one, and that was with a no-name cast other than Peter O'Toole. And it didn't have a very big cast. It had just the Greek guy and the Sterling Syphilis.
Who? Sterling Siliphant.
Sorry. Sterling Siliphant was the play who he played with it. I mean,
All right, thanks a lot, Harvey.
He's just going to keep on talking.
I know, he doesn't even know I hung up on him.
Well, someone's got to call him or go over to the house and tell him to hang the phone up.
All right, do you want to do that?
I'll stop by.
This guy's going to keep on talking.
Are you trying to tell me this jackass will sit there talking on the phone and not even know you've hung up on him?
Sometimes, yeah.
I'll check on him.
Well, you got to do that, yeah, before anything. All right, that's it, folks, for tonight. So we're back. We're back and doing whatever we're doing. And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Hit up our website and our online store for your Thanksgiving, for your Christmas gifts.
Yeah, go buy your turkeys over there.
Right. See you later, folks. Yeah.